Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All my wolves begin to howl. Wake me up, the time is now. Whoa, can you hear the drumming? Whoa, there's a revolution coming.
Wild things that turn me on.
Well, well, well. Somehow we managed to conjure another Friday out of thin air, and here we are. Going into a long weekend. We start off on Fridays with Michael Harrison from Talkers Magazine. Michael, how are you, sir?
I am great, Mr. Friday, at your service, and I hope that you are well.
He is a Friday man.
I am your humble servant Friday. Where's
it's
that
been
from?
Another... Quick. Oh, I don't know. I don't
Robinson
recognize
Crusoe.
That. See, that's why. That's way too long ago. If I was around for that, I don't remember.
No, you weren't. You were born way later. I was.
Thank you. That's what I
I've always been a big fan of Castaway stories. Robinson Crusoe on the island. This is a great time to be on your own island. There are people out there, actually, who are locked down on private islands. All by themselves. I've read a couple of stories. There's a woman on an island someplace. There's a guy on an island. Mm-hmm. And they're living on the island by themselves, no other people, you know.
Well, I think most of us feel that way, though.
Yeah, you know, no man is an island. But how are you holding up?
No, but I mean
up?
Particularly now. Well, you know,
yeah.
It's fine. It's the routine now.
Hmm. Do you feel that there's
that's
a
how
little
I feel.
Bit? Of, is there a part of it that you like? You know that you don't want to go back
yep.
to the real world.
No, I definitely want to go back, but this is fine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's. I mean, we still go shopping. Everyone's at the grocery store, so we get to commune there. And you go to the fruit stand and all these little things. You just the importance of the average little errand, I think, gets magnified. Like I called the mechanic today to make an appointment for Rosalie's car. And I said, oh, how exciting this is. I'll get to drop the car at the mechanic's and there'll be people there.
So, you know, it's interesting as we're discussing, you know, going shopping and going to the mechanic and all that. Look, there are thousands of businesses going out of business. There are thousands of jobs. There are millions of people on unemployment. I am not in any way, shape or form diminishing the seriousness of this financially and economically. However, that being said, there's a lot of business that's happening. There are people that are working from home. The processes of society are continuing. It's not like the bridges have been blown out and the electricity has stopped and there's no communication with the outside world. And, you know, real disasters that we, you know from history or that we've seen in the movies or that we can imagine. This is a disaster that is kind of like not so terrible on that daily material level. You know, people.
Yeah, if you're not hit by the virus itself and impacted
right.
instead by the response to the virus,
right.
then it's bad because it does cause economic damage. So even if I think the governor of Connecticut said a third of the economy was shut down. as if that was, you know, don't talk about this like we shut down the economy. It was only a third. But, you know, if you close a third of the highway during rush hour, the backup is pretty bad. And I feel like that's what we're experiencing right now. For a third of the economy to be shut down in some way, colleges empty, regular schools, public schools closed, teachers not going to teach, school bus drivers not driving, restaurants not opening.
Okay, you've convinced
me.
I'm going to get depressed. You're right. Okay.
No, it's a lot of stuff.
It is a lot of stuff. It is a lot of stuff. It's just...
And that impacts a lot of people.
There's no question. I mean, everybody knows somebody who's either sick, knows somebody who's sick, or is worried about losing their job, or lost their job, or has a business that's in trouble. I was just pointing out that we're still rolling along, that the country is not dead in the water. And
no, it's a really interesting subject that you brought up, because I've always thought this about the Depression. I'm sorry if I'm stepping on you, Michael. We've got a lot of delay today and slow internet, so the timing might not be quite right with Michael in one place, me in another, the station in a third. This period of time and this kind of dynamic, they are mind-bogglingly new, and the only reference we had was the Depression. And the Depression, they always said, I think, 25% unemployed. And I used to think, why is that so horrible? 25, that means 3 out of 4 people were working. And I was thinking about it like even distribution. So if 1 person out of 4 in a family isn't working who are normally working, well, that's not so bad. But I assume it happened in certain socioeconomic classes more than others, and it wasn't evenly distributed. But still, there's money being generated, and 3/4 of the economy is still going, presumably, under the Depression kind of model. But still, 25% is probably what we're at right now, and that's pretty bad.
Well, that's what they say. I'll be honest, I don't fully understand what those statistics mean, never have. I've never fully understood how they arrive at unemployment figures, how the gross national product or the gross domestic product, how that affects me or you, how the stock market and the Dow affects anybody. I've never fully understood these things, and I'm honest about it.
No, but you understand everything. How can you? Their retirement in the stock market, so obviously they're impacted, their retirement is impacted, or their ability to buy new things. If they're making tons of money in the stock market, they'll go out and buy a car maybe.
Yeah, I just don't know what percentage of the people that I come in contact with every day are seriously invested in the stock market. I don't know how these numbers relate to real life on an everyday level. When you run into people, you talk to people, you know people, you go through life. I don't know. You know, we talk about the American people. Well, I don't know, you know, what that represents. There's such a spectrum.
There isn't really any such thing.
That's the point. And I, you know, I don't know when they say the Dow is up. Oh, good. How does that affect somebody who doesn't have, even the Dow is not reflective of every stock on the stock market. You can get one stock that does great, and it has some type of weighting that suddenly makes it look like the whole stock market's okay. And I'm not sure how the stock market and Wall Street relate to Main Street, and I'm not sure about that. I'm not saying I'm a stupid person, but maybe I'm a smart person who's come to the realization that some of these numbers don't seem to relate to anything that anybody could really wrap their brain around.
I think that's true about a lot of our discourse, though. I find that being a point that needs to be made just doing talk radio on a regular basis, that we talk about the economy, we say the word Democrat or Republican, whatever it is, we have these terms, and some people think a Democrat is what a Democrat was 50 years ago, and other people think a Democrat is AOC, and you're not necessarily talking to each other when you're using a lot of terms, because people's definition has to do with their own reference points. So people in different ages and from different parts of the country and what have you, there's all kinds of confusion about everything we're saying to each other, Michael.
Yes, and I just notice it. It just jumps out at me. Definitions are very important. Most of the terminology that we use in the discourse on this type of a forum is very nebulous in terms of, as you just pointed out, different people have different responses to it. What is a capitalist? What is a communist? What is a socialist? What is a fascist? What does it mean to be poor? What does it mean to be rich? What does
Those
it mean?
Are great. Those are particularly great. To me, rich is having more money each month coming in than what your bills are. To me, you're a rich person if you've got that. But obviously, yeah. There are different gradations.
Well, I've had people come to me who are maybe 10, 20 times richer than I am in terms of assets, asking me for a loan because they're nervous, because they're down to their last $5 million. I'm telling
really?
You.
So how much did you throw their way?
I gave them $10. No, you're missing the point.
Enough for three ice cream. Well, two and a half ice cream cones.
But the point I'm making is that we don't even know what levels of worry and pain are in somebody's world. Somebody can complain to you about how tough their times are, and they're actually doing better than you do. At their worst, they're doing better than you do at your best. And to you, that would be fantastic. And
yes.
you're giving them empathy. Communication is so difficult because we don't know what these words and these syndromes feel like to other people.
Yeah, but in particular, that thing of being under stress. Stress mm-hmm. is a perception of a reality. Some people have regular physical pain in their lives and don't even notice it because they have a high threshold for such things. And other people feel the breeze pick up a little bit and they have to run inside. It's so painful. Everyone's sensibilities to these things are different.
Nervous Nellies, worry warts, we all know them. Mm-hmm. People with high anxiety, no matter what happens, they worry about it. They find a reason to worry no matter what's going on. No matter, you know, if you're going to go out for the day, it may rain. Well, it may rain.
Oh, should we bring no, a- water could fall from the sky, clean, cool, beautiful water.
Yeah, but it's true. And with money, especially, it's very difficult when you're with somebody, unless you know them intimately, to truly understand mm-hmm. what their threshold of joy or misery might be. And, right. you know, you're giving advice to them, you're getting into a conversation, you chat, and you realize, wait a second, this conversation has no meaning whatsoever. They're not listening to me because they want to talk. And I'm not listening to them.
Well, there's a lot of that goes on, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it. And then you wonder, maybe I talk too much, or maybe nobody listens enough. Yeah, it really is important to constantly calibrate your perception and your sensibilities against the rest
but
of the
why
world.
Why are we so sensitive to each other? You've gotten onto a whole bigger other topic.
I'm sorry.
We get offended by the slightest little variations in protocol from what we think they should be. And other people have totally different perceptions of protocol.
Yeah, especially today when everybody has righteous indignation. About, well, not everybody, but a large number of people.
There's a lot of it kicking around, yeah.
There's a lot of it kicking around. Righteous indignation. We have an entire generation, again, that's a broad strokes statement, that looks for something to be upset about because that's what you do. you're offended. I am a professional offendee. I find every day something to be offended about. I express righteous indignation about it and try to put myself on the right side of justice. It's BS. It really is.
I'm willing to agree with you on that. Michael, when we continue, would you tell us, just because talking about different perceptions, I'm so focused on Connecticut and the politics here and the goings-on with regard to the virus. I don't know what the big national story is, if there is one outside of the specifics of the virus. You know, what is the associated story that's big? So maybe when we continue, you can tell us that, all right?
Sure.
Michael Harrison is here on WTIC. WTIC, that's Michael Harrison from Talkers Magazine on bass. Nice groove, Michael.
Yeah, listen to that. Ooh. I have no idea what it is.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Unrecognizable. First time Michael's ever played it, I think.
Yeah, Michael Coe
and
is
I'm
going,
not sure why.
He's going esoteric on us. It must be something.
All right, so tell us a big story. Share a big story with us, Michael.
I mean, come on.
You
don't live in the same...
You're tracking these things all the time.
I do track them.
No, I'm not.
You live in the world, and you know, I know that you, I know that tolls are your life, but indeed. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
No, that was great. Are you kidding? I love that. No, tolls have been on the back burner for a few months because the virus came along and the toll.
The virus ruined the. I got to tell you, the virus ruined toll talk. I mean. It's taken its toll on the whole toll deal.
Yes, it has.
But all right. So, in all seriousness, you asked me a question. It's a good question. What are people talking about in the talk media? I consider the talk media, talk radio, talk television, talk podcasts, online talk, satellite talk. I consider this to be
imitators, though. But the real deal is talk radio.
But they are the heirs to talk radio. They are the ones that have been inspired. All of this other media was inspired by talk radio.
Thank you.
Fox News Channel was born because they wanted to put talk radio on television. And who do they turn to? They talk to talk show hosts from radio. But that's not the point. The point is that all of this collective media is, in my opinion, the most accurate bellwether of American public opinion in the bigger media today. If you want to know which way elections are going to go, if you want to know what the American people care about, listen to talk radio, listen to talk media, watch the cable channels, take a variety of them, look at the left, look at the right. You'll know what people are talking about. You'll find that out. And right now, people are concerned about health and money. The big conversation is the coronavirus. It is the statistics and the projections. The numbers, how many people have it, how many people are dead, how many people are cured, and what is this thing with the curve? Are we peaking? Are we coming down? Are we going up? What's happening in other countries around the world where they've had similar situations? Are we ahead of them? Are we behind them? Can we learn by watching? How dangerous is it for me to go out? What are the odds of me getting this? This is what people care about. They're talking.
So nothing's changed over 2 months, is what you're saying, because that's really what we've been thinking about for 2 months, isn't it?
Well, is there anything more important in terms of what the national conversation should be about than our health and our wealth? We're talking about two, you know, top issues, top subjects of concern. We're concerned about our health, and we're concerned about our ability to make a living. To eat.
No, you're right. That's what it's all about. And that's what's been interesting about this is that the political class has been focused on getting us sufficiently scared by the virus to listen to what they tell us in terms of locking down and doing social distancing and wearing masks and all those things that we never did before. And if they had just dumped them on our laps without a little foreplay first, we wouldn't have gone along with the whole thing. And they had to do it in a gradual way to pull us down the path. But now that we've been there for a while and we've learned about those things that you just described, I think there's a natural movement away from just worrying about the health and now bringing the economy back into it, because the economy is ultimately the more important thing to us after we realize that our health is okay. Now it's a balancing act for the political class. How do they look like they care enough about the economy while they're also looking like they can hold us in their lock that they've had us in over the past couple of months?
All right. Well, again, just that you're seeing it through the lens of politicians, politics, and government, and there's a degree of that. But I do not personally subscribe to the thought that the politicians all sat down and went, now we can take control and keep people locked in cages. Okay, good. I'm glad, because I can't buy into
it. I just
that.
Think that's how it manifests. I think most conspiracies aren't conspiracies of anything other than the forces of nature that are aligning at any particular time. So you did have 50 governors who had a similar concern, which was how are they going to oversee their states and manage it through the crisis, and how are you not going to have a failure to push down the curve and have that curve instead become a spike that overwhelmed hospital emergency room. So what Andrew Cuomo was worried about was also what the governor of Maryland and the governor of Delaware and the governor of California was worried about.
Where Andrew Cuomo went wrong, I mean, he held those nice press briefings and everybody thought he was presidential and all that. But where he went wrong was he made a rule that you have to send elderly people with COVID-19 to nursing homes and they have to take them. What? And now we've had...
Wasn't that incredible?
Well, we've had
that
a domestic...
That was incredible.
That's a demographic genocide.
Hold on, Michael.
Yep.
We're going to get to news. We'll continue the conversation with Michael Harrison on WTIC. Everything free in America. Yes, we live in the land of the free. Who knew they were talking about money when they said that? Michael Harrison is here. It is Friday. And Michael, you said something big and outrageous.
Oh, no.
Going into that break.
What did I say?
It was so big and outrageous, I made a note of it, and now I can't find the note. You said demographic genocide.
Yeah. Yeah.
You accused Andrew Cuomo of demographic genocide. Explain.
I didn't accuse him of it. I don't think he did it on purpose.
You convicted him.
I think it's a byproduct of what he meant. He meant well. I think I don't think he meant any harm.
He meant well. Oh, I thought that would work well, sending all the sick people back into the nursing homes.
It was based on his assumption that the nursing homes are operating in a way that is totally up to the latest techniques and standards in healthcare.
Oh, so he'd never been to a nursing home.
You have to have the right premise under the premise that you build something on. If you don't build an idea or a move on the right foundation, you can mean well and it could collapse. That's what happened to him. But right now, and I really want to take the opportunity to do a quick overview of what people are talking about nationally, because you asked me that before.
Okay.
And then we went off on the number one and two topic, and we didn't even finish those. But demographic genocide. One of the arguments you hear people say when they try to massage the numbers to be less scary, they say, and most of the people are old people. Well, like it's not as bad if old people die. There's a cavalier attitude among many.
There is. It could sound like that anyway.
It sounds like it. And you know, here's my righteous indignation about that. I think that's terrible. I think it really shows a lack of character on a very deep level for anybody to insinuate it's not as bad a crisis because old people or people with pre-existing conditions are dying from this. I understand.
Well, that's true, except it is different. If somebody, so when you hear flu figures and there are 80,000 deaths each year, and you realize a lot of the flu or a lot of the pneumonias or a lot of whatever are just giving people their final push to where they're standing on the precipice anyway, and that is different from just saying because somebody is 80, we don't care if
one of the things that I've learned in this type of a thing is not like, oh, well, the flu kills 80,000 people a year. But there's no, I'm suddenly waking up to the idea that, hey, people that say get a flu shot, people that say watch out for the flu, there's some truth to that. Maybe we're too lackadaisical about these things. Maybe we should be concerned about the flu more than we are.
But that's life. People do die.
Well, tolls are part of life, too.
Well, we can try to stop those, and we don't even have to take a vaccination.
Exactly. Or they should give you a vaccination while you go through the toll, you know, and also...
Imagine how much that could sell for if you could have a toll vaccination so you don't have to pay.
And a roll of toilet paper. But the big statistics, the governor has announced there's an increase in the tolls, but to make it less painful, everybody that goes through gets a roll of toilet paper, or at least a sheet. Okay, we have this is terrible.
That would mitigate the problems it would. Dramatically.
Yeah. Hydroxychloroquine, there's a long word that's even more difficult to pronounce than demographic genocide. Hydroxychloroquine.
Are you going to do the whole list and then we can talk about these, or do you want to talk about them as you go through the list?
I'll tell you quickly. People are talking about health care. Okay. The main issue this week has been hydroxychloroquine, which is a politicized situation. It's no different than any other of a number of drugs that have been proven to be effective in some situations. And like all drugs, it has a downside. The economy, as I mentioned, is the big issue. And in the big issue of all the different areas that are closed and how do we open them and how do we get things back on track, one of the biggest of all these arenas is education. What do we do with the schools? Summer schools are being canceled. Administrators at schools, public schools, private schools, colleges and universities are totally beside themselves trying to make plans when the uncertainty of what's happening still is the main fact they have. Uncertainty. They're trying to figure out what are they going to do with campuses, what are they going to do with classrooms come the fall. The presidential race is going on. There's always something to talk about that, but it's been a bit murky. A lot of it has been who is Biden going to select as vice president? And this woman in Georgia, who lost the race for governor, but claims that she would have run it had it not been for voter suppression, which is a kind of a flimsy argument. Stacey Abrams has openly said, I want to be vice president. So that's interesting, because usually people don't politic for the vice presidency. You humbly accept it and tell how honored you are. So that's a
times are different.
You know, there hasn't been that much talk about the allegations about from Tara Reid that Joe Biden has
about Joe Biden.
Yeah, that hasn't been a very big issue this week. U.S.-China relations, gigantic. It started out, oh, you're being politically incorrect. You shouldn't call it the Wuhan coronavirus. That's racist against Chinese. Well, hell it is. We're at war with China, and we've been at war with China for years, and we're going to have to come to terms with it. I've been telling you that for the longest time. And think about it. 2 years ago, I was telling you we had problems with China. And and we are. And the World Health Organization controversy. Trump wants to withhold funds to them because of their ties to China and how they've not handled the whole thing very well.
They've gone easy on China.
Yeah. We still have the Michael Flynn case and the Inspector General firing. People think that Trump is being authoritarian. Mike Pompeo is being investigated for some garbage that has nothing to do with anything. There's the communications technology. A lot of the bloom is off of Zoom. A lot of people are getting headaches sitting in front of their computer talking to 25 people at the same time.
Well, is this something you use in business? Do you sit there and meet with people in virtual meetings?
Not as much as other people do. I've done a few. I've been to a couple of board meetings. I'm on various boards. I even ran a relative meeting. I contacted all of my distant relatives, many of whom don't know each other, and I organized about 15.
Oh, what a cool idea.
Yeah, I did that on Mother's Day in honor of the grandmother and the mothers, the three sisters who were the aunts and the grandmother. And I had cousins and all kinds of descendants of them. It was very interesting. But, you know, after a while, you're looking at postage stamp sized people. And one of the bad things about doing teleconferencing or talking on Skype or Zoom is it's hard work to sit in front of a screen and have to look at somebody for a half hour or 15 minutes, as opposed to on the phone. You know, you can roll your eyes, you can pick your nose, you can have something to eat. When you're on TV with somebody, it's a lot of work. So,
but can't you just run some kind of loop of yourself while you go get on the treadmill and just listen or something like that?
I guess they'll have that technology soon enough.
But I have this thing, this cardboard cutout of myself that we use at remotes. That's actual size. I could just prop that thing up.
I would do, if I had such a thing, I would do it as well. And people are talking about sports, psychology, personal relationships. A lot of relationships are being messed up by this. And then, of course, there's race relations, the Ahmaud Arbery case.
How long is this list?
And
there's many things.
There's been floods across the United States and monsoons.
Oh, I heard about those
monsoons
floods.
In India. You asked me, what are people talking about outside of Connecticut? I'm telling you. And that's
okay,
it. I have nothing
I
more to
everything.
Say on that.
I didn't say what's everything.
No, that's the tip of a very large iceberg. There's a big world out there, Todd. Big world.
Well, I can't embrace it right now. I'm sorry.
I deal with that every day. What's going on?
Keeping track of these big stories.
What's going on? What people are saying and what they're thinking. Yep. That's what I do for a living.
Whenever I hear those weather stories, which don't interest me particularly, when I watch the network news, for example, for their 24 minutes of here are the big stories, they love the weather stories first. And those stories will have multiple reporters with different packages. Why is a flood somewhere along a river? Why is that so important to the whole country?
Well, there's an element of human drama to it. You might have relatives there. We're all connected either economically or in terms of our friends or our relations. And there may be a river near your house that could flood. So I don't know.
We don't get that, though. In the Northeast, you get cold in the winter, snowstorms. Mm-hmm. Occasionally an ice storm that could knock out power for a couple of weeks. But for the most part, we don't have the dramatic your life is ruined stuff like they do where there are tornadoes and incredible hurricanes that swamp everything. It's interesting how some people have chronic agony, which is what a long winter can be. And
oh, yeah.
Others have these acute moments that where there's utter destruction and then they're left alone for the next 5 years.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you consider to be beyond your ability to deal with. Back to the pleasure and pain thing we talked about earlier. I find that every place has its natural disaster potency. You know, it has the potential to have a problem. You got Tornado Alley. You got flooding by the Mississippi. You've got places where it's freezing and you have cold blizzards and nor'easters, droughts, earthquakes, mudslides. And then, of course, the dreaded murder hornets, you know,
the murder hornets. Yeah.
You know who are really suffering? I want to tell you who's really suffering in this crisis that we're having right now. The rats that live in New York City. I'm not talking
because,
about any.
Because they're not being fed?
They're not being fed. There are no restaurants. They live. Isn't it assuring to know you go into New York and you spend a lot of money in a fine restaurant, a world-class restaurant, and that restaurant is where the rats dine as well? The rats are dying, and they are having turf wars. The different factions of rats are fighting with each other over whatever remaining areas there are in Manhattan for them to
be able
to...
wherever the good dumpster is?
Yes. Yes.
That's amazing. I wonder if the restaurants, because it's true, wherever there's a restaurant, there's got to be a smelly, ugly, garbage-filled dumpster.
You ever walk down the street in Manhattan, and you're walking down the street, and all of a sudden you get this, you walk past an alley, and you just get this rancid, foul odor?
Yes.
You know? Maybe after
this. Yeah, New York is filled with those odors. Sometimes it just seems to be emanating out of the street as if there's an open sewer pipe down below. Hot days in Manhattan, right?
Yeah. Now, people that live there get what's called olfactory fatigue, and that after a certain point, you're not able to smell something. So they don't always know about it. But now the rats are having a lot of problems. However, conversely, wild animals are having a wonderful time. In the national parks where there haven't been humans, they're thriving. The air has become cleaner.
Finally, they can do some nude sunbathing, those animals.
Yes, they are shameless little critters, aren't they? But, you know, it's just fascinating keeping track of all the different levels of stuff that's going on during this this event that we are all living through together, and that without
question, unintended consequence kind of things.
Yeah,
that's fascinating. The idea that somehow there's a positive. Well, there's the environmental stuff too, right? They told us early on with this that the air was suddenly cleaner than it had been in years because nobody's driving compared to normal. So there are all these things that happen. That's why I'm depressing as a lot of people find this, I'm filled with wonder at the idea that it gives us an opportunity to learn so much about ourselves and to see ourselves in a fresh light. Michael Harrison is here. It's Friday. We do this chat every week, first hour on Fridays. Stay with us on WTIC. It's WTIC Friday. Michael Harrison is here. Yes, the rats are looking for something to eat, and they're having turf wars. They're having their own West Side Story play out on the streets of Manhattan.
They are.
What kind of weapons do they use on each other, Michael?
Teeth, teeth, claws, teeth, and fleas.
They're
really creepy, I have to tell you. I've stood a number of times on the subway stand in New York, and you see one of them walk by down on the tracks the size of a dog. Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're big rats. Ooh. So what's going to happen to Manhattan being the big, intense city that it is? Are people going to give up riding the trains, do you think, the public transportation?
To a certain degree. I think there'll be people that'll go back to normal, but not everybody. I think that we're going to go through a process of evolution now where we're going to be much more concerned about personal space, cleanliness, and things that we just didn't think about before. And I think the face mask is going to be part of, our everyday experience. And I think it's going to be a long time before we get through this.
I just don't know. It's going to be such an acute damage to New York, to Manhattan, it seems to me, because of it's so high priced. It's everything is so running at the highest level of tension that it possibly can. And if suddenly, what happens if 20% of the commercial real estate market disappears because they decide they don't need to have offices for everybody anymore? Let people work from home. And if people like my brother, who's abandoned New York, he's not going back. And I've heard stories of a half dozen people like that who just said, that's it, I'm done with the city. I'm going to stay at my vacation house, or I'm going to move out west somewhere. There's this big, sudden moment coming, it seems, where structural changes are coming to our society.
I agree, and I think it's going to happen in major downtown areas. And I think the whole idea of jamming thousands and thousands and thousands of cars into narrow streets and having them backed up for hours. You know, you drive to New York from Connecticut, it takes you maybe 2.5 to 3 hours, depending on the traffic along the way. Then when you get to the city, it takes you 1.5 hours to get to where you want to go 10 blocks away. It's not human. It's really disgusting.
Well, it's not humane, yeah.
It's outlived its usefulness. We've got to redesign cities. We have to redesign our thinking. And that's what is going to mark the next decade of the 21st century. Welcome to the 21st century.
It's interesting that we're living through this period, and what we're focused on is the disease and the jobs and the financial stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the health and the finances, as you described. But really what you're saying is we're going to look at this as a societal moment in which a big shift in the way we live life goes on that will make us think about the virus only in that it triggered this kind of change.
There's no question about it. That's what I believe. And you said it succinctly. We're going to have a lot of changes, architectural changes, the way schools are operated, the way the grids in cities are designed, how many cars are allowed into a city, how we go to sporting events, how closely we sit with each other, how restaurants are designed. There's going to be a complete change in the look and the execution of what we consider to be the normal processes of society.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is great, because I think part of the thing that there's been a lot of political frustration over in recent years has to do with the fact that a lot of stuff that should be changing is stuck in place because so many people have so much money invested in the status quo, and it takes a cataclysmic event like this to jostle things loose so they can get rearranged a little bit.
And what political leaders have to do and business leaders have to do is figure out creative ways to focus financial energy and the creation of new jobs on solving these problems and creating these changes with as little damage as possible. That's the challenge.
Michael Harrison, Talkers Magazine. Go to talkers.com and find out what a high-level operator he is in the talk radio industry and what good work he does. Talkers.com. Michael, we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Todd. Be well. Have a happy holiday, everybody. Oh.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for remembering.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.